Hi, this is Scott Fletcher from Podcheck.com, and you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Carol.
It's showtime.
Gonna put on a show.
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 Not one show, two show, three show, but a big show.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Okay.
All right, that's our new theme. This is Jeff.
And this is Carol.
And you're listening to the This and That podcast with Jeff and Carol.
And I'm Carol.
And who are you again?
I'm Carol.
This is show number 34. I think it's show number 34. But it's really show number 3 for you and I.
Yes, this is my third time on the show.
And it's show number 1 for 2006, and it's only March, so we're doing really well.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of catching up to do.
We do have some catching up to do, and I guess we should probably talk to our audience a little bit about what's been going on, because, you know, why did this show go away? Or as Scott Fletcher from PodCheck tells me, we're pod fading.
Yes, and also, who the heck I am?
Who the heck are you? Why don't you give the viewers, that's a habit I haven't gotten rid of. I always say viewers, but you guys aren't viewers. And if you're viewing us while you're driving, not good.
No.
Well, first of all, some of you know this show from last year's incarnation. I like to call it last season. How's that sound? This is a new season.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the, what's the Mafia HBO show?
The Mafia HBO show is called The Sopranos.
Yeah, it's kind of like The Sopranos. It's the new season.
Yes.
And we have we killed off some people from last season.
Right.
We have new people this season. So we killed off Pat.
Yeah, we hibernated.
We hibernated.
We killed off Pat and then we hibernated. And now we're going to come back. We're back and we're stronger and we're better in the springtime.
Well, what I've heard, Carol, all the pilots that we did this year, I mean, you guys probably thought we were just, sitting on our butts. But we had pilots, we had focus groups, we had PR, we had marketing, we had the whole shebang. You could imagine a high production show with values like ours does, right? And it's test marketed very, very well.
Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of hard work putting all that together, Jeff.
I don't know if it's been worth it, but...
Actually, folks, I had nothing to do with any of that. Jeff's the brains and the genius behind all that.
That is true.
Work.
Genius. Pure genius. You know what I did? Nothing.
You didn't?
Well, I did change the website.
Yeah, you did. You guys, if you get a chance, check out the About Jeff and Carol section.
Yes, there's a new About Carol.
There's a new About Carol. I think you changed yours up your profile up a bit, didn't you, Jeff?
I did change it a little bit because you pointed out, I didn't even look at mine, you pointed out there were some legacy things from the previous cast.
Right, exactly. So you guys get to know us again, especially me.
Yeah, and don't be mad at Carol for not being Pat.
Exactly. I'm certainly not Pat.
And we do want you to know that while I haven't talked to Pat, which is a little bit strange given the fact that we've been friends for more than 15 years, but she sort of let that go, I do hear that she is doing fine. So for those that have well wishes towards Pat, she seems to be kicking and hanging out and doing well.
That's good to hear.
All right. Well, I wanted to lead off the show, if I may.
You go for it. You're leading.
With kind of a big topic. And this topic is global warming.
Okay.
Did you see Time magazine last week?
No, I didn't see Time magazine.
It made their cover story. And here's what they're saying about global warming. They said it's time to start doing, getting off the pot and doing stuff. Because what they said is that in the next 10 years, if we don't change the way things are going, the Earth is reaching a tipping point. And
what does that mean, Jeff?
And creating feedback loops. Well, I'll give you an example.
What's a tipping point? Because they've been talking about global warming for many, many years.
Right.
So what's happening versus 10, 20 years ago when they started talking about this?
A tipping point is any kind of area. In this case, it's sort of a physical type of thing. But it's any kind of area where you reach a point of no return, if you will. And I give you an example in the context of global warming, how this applies.
Right.
What they said is that all the polar regions are the snow, white, and ice. Reflects 90% of the sun's rays. And the ocean, on the other hand, absorbs about 90% of the sun rays. Mm-hmm. What's happening right now is that slowly the polar regions are shrinking. In fact, right now, models are saying by 2060 it'll be gone. Well, not only does that create a little bit of a problem, but it creates an accelerated problem in the sense that you have less, the sun is being reflected less, and more sun is coming into the ocean. So it actually has a geometric sort of effect, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's interesting about that particular phenomena is that as the polar regions melt, you have carbon dioxide, old dead stuff, if you will, if want of a better term, that's being uncovered, and that creates more carbon. Excuse me, I'm not used to this. I just bumped into the mic. That presents more carbon dioxide into the environment.
And could that cause more flooding as well, as the polar regions melt?
I think all that stuff.
It's all related.
Yeah, I think it's all related. So what's interesting about it is that let's see. What do I have here? Oh. Two people that are in the Senate right now, Lieberman and John McCain, a Republican and a Democrat, have both been giving this a lot of lip service and trying to get the Senate off of its butt to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And,
good for them.
Yeah, and you know, these two, I think, Carol and I have different politics, but I think these two people we both respect, right?
I mean, yeah, I think I like Lieberman better than I like McCain, so
really?
that's a little surprising, right?
But they seem like decent people.
Yeah, they're more, I like those two because they're not too far left, they're not too far right.
Right.
They seem to be right down the middle.
They seem to be down in the middle, and they seem to be smarter than the average Joe, definitely. Well, they had a 10-people expedition that went down to Antarctica and Australia and New Zealand to talk to scientists. And of the 10 folks, only 3 people thought that they had a problem. And I don't know who the 10 guys were, but they were 10 senators and congressmen. All 10 of them came back and were pretty convinced that, you know, pretty convinced of the science that they went through. The other interesting thing is that because the national government is not doing anything about this, there's a lot of frustration out there. 200, that surprised me, United States cities are saying, to heck with the national government, we pledge to bring our emissions down to 1990 levels by the year 2012. So anyway.
What about the rest of the globe?
Well,
when you say did you say national government, as in the U.S. government, or national governments don't really seem to give a flip about what's...
I mean the U.S. national government. 141 countries plus have signed the Kyoto agreements, so they want to do some things. U.S. has refused to do that because, you know, obviously there's negative political consequences. I mean, at the end of the day, they're going to ask us to sacrifice, okay? That there's no two ways around that, and no politician really wants to ask his constituents to sacrifice. So it's politically tough. But the science seems to be coming to a point that's got to be dealt with.
Right.
So that was my top story.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing because...
It's very depressing. And my being an animal lover, what about the polar bear?
They said polar bears are gone in 60 years because there's no ice.
There's not going to be any ice.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't survive in warm climates.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And also the baby white seals and...
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of unintended, unintended is not the word, but not thought of consequences of any shifts to the whole cycle of life, you know?
Right.
So anyways, it was good knowing you, and we'll all die in 40 years, and it'll be cool. It'll be hip. It'll be fun. We'll have a big party.
We'll be dead.
What you gonna do?
Well, actually, we might be really, really old. We might not be dead by then.
We might come out of our house and it'll be 120 degrees.
We'll still be doing the podcast, right? We'll be 80-something.
It's getting so hot in here. We laugh. We can't even go to the North Pole for escape. The North Pole would be like 70 degrees, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be the place where everybody moves to.
Yeah.
Except actually, it'll be all melted. It'll
be
ocean, I think.
It would probably be all ocean.
Yeah, probably would be. Unless there's land mass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder.
If it's all glaciers up in the North Pole and the South Pole, then it could be all water.
So I bought real estate up there.
So I'm
thinking ahead.
You did, huh?
Me and the penguins, well, I guess South Pole.
Well, it might be a good investment for your grandchildren.
You know, sadly it might be.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I got to say about that.
Okay, that was heavy. That was good.
Okay. You got anything for us that you wanted to share?
Serious or not so serious?
Anything you want.
Okay, I'm going with Sirius.
All right. Is that the satellite center? Satellite system Sirius?
Satellite system Sirius? I don't know what that means, but...
S-I-R-I-U-S, Sirius, or...
Oh, Sirius. Oh, as in the XMSR competitor.
It was a really bad joke.
Yeah, actually, I don't have satellite radio, so I know about XMSR. I used to be an XMSR investor, but...
Really?
I digress. Yeah, I didn't make a lot of money on the stock. I think I probably broke even. I ended up getting rid of that stock, but... okay, today's top story is so alarming.
How alarming is it?
It's pretty alarming. There was an organ donor from Texarkana, Arkansas. His name's William Bede. He was only 20 years old.
Hmm.
And he died, obviously. He had been complaining of seizures, vomiting, swelling of the brain. He was confused. He was salivating heavily. Anyways, shortly after he started exhibiting these symptoms, they checked him into the hospitals, and he died. Like, within the week, he was dead. Well, his parents decided to donate his organs, and these organs were disseminated to different hospitals. They checked out. They didn't find that the organs were infected. And they actually, he had been a drug user because they found cocaine and marijuana in his blood. So I think the doctors just chalked off his death to a drug overdose.
Sounds like an easy thing to do, but probably not accurate, huh?
Not accurate at all. Get this. The guy died of rabies. And for those of you guys that don't know about rabies, you've got to treat rabies before you start exhibiting any of the symptoms, because once you start exhibiting any of the symptoms, you're dead.
Wow.
I mean, basically, it's incurable. So if you've ever been bitten by, you know, an animal, wild animal, or even, you know, a domesticated animal that you think might have rabies, then you immediately got to go get your rabies vaccinations. And supposedly, it's not a pretty process. It involves getting a lot of shots in the abdominal area, not as many as you used to have to get, but I think they've reduced the amount of shots from like 20 or so that you used to have to get to about 5. But it's very serious. Well, it turns out that this guy's organs were infected by the rabies. The organs checked out. They were implanted on other people. And as a result of his organ donations, it ended up killing 5 other people. Isn't that amazing?
5 other. Wait, I don't know. I'm not quite. I can see how the donee would catch his rabies. What about the other 5? Because he donated
his
one.
Organs, and his organs were infected by rabies.
And they went to 5 different people.
They went to 5 different hospitals across the United States. Now, the reason it's in the Dallas Morning News is because the kidney ended up going to a recipient in the Dallas area. This recipient was not in a huge rush to get the kidney.
Right.
He was about 20 years old, I think. It was just a young kid, who was just starting out his life. And he wasn't like in the... there's about 100,000 people waiting for organs. I mean, those numbers are staggering. But this guy, I mean, he was on dialysis, I think it's called, which is that dialysis cleans your blood if you have kidney disease. You can survive on dialysis for a while, and so he wasn't in a huge rush to get this kidney, but because he got this kidney and that was infected with the rabies, it ended up just terminating his life, and he had a big future ahead of him. I was just so alarmed that I didn't think that rabies were transmitted that way.
I remember as a child, at school, all the warnings about, you know, if you get bit by something, go immediately. I mean, I remember it was a big deal, but I don't know if I ever quite registered why and the hows of rabies. And mm-hmm. as you said, it sounds like if you get the symptoms, it's too late.
Yep, it's too late. So I think this guy's, I forget what the recipient's name is, but the family is suing. I think it's Baylor Plano. And not only that, but they're just astounded as to how, you know, the surgeons or the doctors that operated on the donor couldn't identify what it was. You know,
do you know what he was bitten by?
Oh, there were bats.
Wow.
Supposedly in his apartment complex, which is, it's like, how do you know you haven't been bitten by a bat?
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. Maybe
what are those, you know, where the druggies go and do their drugs? What are those places called? Doesn't it have a name?
My house? Actually, yeah, I don't do drugs, but...
The name of Jeff's house used to be Casa Pecana.
Still is.
Is it still called Casa Pecana? It means the house of pecans because Jeff has a bunch of pecan trees out in his backyard, right?
Yes, and this is the Casa Pecana Studios. We're recording out of the Casa Pecana Studios.
But anyway,
on the air.
Supposedly, wherever he was living is an apartment complex, and it was infested by bats.
Nice.
And so he probably got bitten by bats because, you know, bats are, you know, one of the worst carriers of rabies.
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't know. I mean, how could you not know? I guess if you're high all the time, right? Because this guy was definitely a drug user. If you're high all the time, you don't know that, you know.
You're getting bitten by a bat.
You don't know you've been bitten by a bat.
Well, I wonder what a bat bite looks like. Because, you know, about a month ago, Carol, I was getting bit in my legs in bed.
Oh, my God. And I know what that is.
And I did some preventive measures. I did all kinds of stuff. I cleaned the heck out of everything. I put...
Bed bugs.
Well, you know what? I think they were either chiggers or bed bugs. And the internet research that I did kind of concluded chiggers, although I looked and looked and never saw anything.
Well, I think aren't
but chiggers... But it was brutal.
Yes.
It was
actually,
brutal.
I've been, you know, I listen to the radio on the way to and from work. I have a long commute to and from work, and there's just been, I think there's an outbreak.
Really?
Of bed bugs? Where people are waking up in the mornings and their legs, their bodies are bleeding.
Yeah.
And
now see,
I
saw the graphics, you know, of bed bug bites versus chigger bites, and mine seemed to be chigger bites.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I got, like, anti-chigger stuff, cleaned the heck out of everything, and I haven't had a problem since. So.
But now, are the chiggers visible to the eye?
They are visible, but I could never see them, and that's what always kind of bummed me out. I couldn't see, and I looked at the places they say to look, like in the cracks and seams and stuff like that. I never saw any. But they are visible to the eye, where bed bugs are a bit smaller.
Well, I don't think you can see bed bugs.
Yeah.
I think they're like microscopic.
Yeah.
And they live in your sheets, but I mean, right. It's like, you know, these ones see bed bugs on steroids.
Yeah.
Right?
It was,
I mean, if they're
brutal.
Yeah.
But I wonder if a bat could bite you at night and you'd think, I got a bug bite.
I got a chigger bite.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Because the bats aren't as big as mm-hmm. they make out when you see them in the movies, so maybe it's like a spider bite.
Yeah, I wonder.
You know?
And that's what I kind of thought I had was spider bites, but it seemed to be a little bit more brutal than the spider bites I'd had in the past.
Very interesting. I think we should cut the show short,
uh-huh.
and I think we should go look for bats.
I think bats in the belfry. Let's go up to the attic. Well, you know what happened last week in Dallas?
What happened in Dallas last weekend? I don't know.
We had a terrible flood.
I know.
We had 8 inches of rain in 2 days. And the Texas ground is not known for being the most absorbent, especially since it's been dry here for the last year mm-hmm. or so. So we had some conditions. I mean, it was Skillman, just 3 blocks away from here, Carol. I saw pictures of it because I didn't go out of my house.
You didn't? And you know,
I
read about the flooding in downtown Dallas, and I'm like, how is there, like, how is there flooding in Dallas?
Skillman was a river.
That's what I heard.
You can see pictures. It's unbelievable.
Oh. Well, it was bad enough to where I guess I know one woman died.
Well, speak of that, I've got her little story here. Yeah. And I did want to put a little...
The gal from Japan, right? She was a graduate student at SMU. And
her name was Jin Du. She was from Shanghai, China.
Oh, China.
Yeah, 22 years old. And she was getting a doctorate in molecular and cell biology. She was the only death, I think, that we know of from this flood.
Right.
She was swept away from her car. And she sounds
like... She tried to get out of her car.
Right.
I don't think she tried to get out of her car, and I thought she was swept away by the running waters.
That's exactly right. And you know what? A millionaire, I think, I wish I would have gotten his name, but attempted to save her and her friend, and he did save her friend.
Oh, okay.
A millionaire who was just out giving of himself, risking his life.
Huh.
I mean, it's a heck of a story. But the one thing I wanted to say, so she was swept away from flood waters near Wycliffe and Turtle Creek, for those in the Dallas area.
Yeah, and I knew that was in the Turtle Creek area, but I just can't imagine. I mean, it must have been pretty deep, right?
Yeah. Just. Do you know, I had a high school friend of mine about maybe 6-7 years after high school.
Mm-hmm.
He died in a similar way. His car was caught in a... What happens is the stuff comes up just really fast, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of panic. You don't know what to do. And the natural instinct, if you're in a car,
is to get out.
Is indeed to get out.
Right.
And what they say in retrospect is stay in as long as you can. And if you're going to be submerged, then get out of the car, but hang on to the car if you can. You just don't want to let it go because it'll take you away and then you hit something. You know, your head goes thump and boom, you're gone.
And I think that's probably how this young lady died. I think if she was being swept away by, you know, just heavy waters, I mean, she must have hit her head, right? Because I doubt she would have been submerged. I doubt it would have been as deep as
I think, 6 feet. But I think, you know, people can get drowned in a bathtub, too. I think that... so much force that it can hold your head downward, and of course you're panicking, you're not breathing right, and all that kind of stuff. But
and if you don't swim,
yeah. Well, here's what I wanted to make a plea to everybody: there is a memorial fund to help her friend's family with travel and funeral expenses. Her parents are arriving to North Texas this week, and they're going to get her body and return to Shanghai and have a funeral and everything. And that's pretty expensive for somebody in China to do. So they are taking funds. And if anybody wants to contribute, just send me an email to jeff@thisandthatpodcast.com or check the Dallas Morning News, and I'll give you all the details for that. I think it's worthwhile. I mean, it just sucks. You know, it's a sad story. A woman with a lot of life and energy and a great...
And a great mind. It sounds like she had a great mind.
Yeah.
It's such a senseless way to go.
Yeah.
It really is. It's really devastating.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, a story that I pulled out about the flood was there's an agency set up, and you know, I don't even know about these agencies until you read about them after the flood. There's an agency set up that gives away prom dresses to girls, okay? And what they do this for is they try to make these, well, there's certain qualifications. You have to abstain from using alcohol or drugs on prom night, and what else? You have to attend a victims panel against Mothers Against Drunk Driving, see a presentation from the Dallas Police Department on the impact of drinking and driving, and participate in a program on applying makeup and dressing for a formal. Okay? So you have to do all this stuff, and then you qualify for a free dress. Now, the warehouses that were storing the free dresses that lots of people have contributed to this thing, this organization, was flooded. And the dresses are ruined.
Oh.
So they're appealing to people to contribute more for dresses. And even some of these dresses can be cleaned through dry cleaning, though not a lot of them. And some of the dresses, actually, they can shorten them because only the bottoms were damaged.
Oh, wow. And what's the name of this charity, Jeff? The reason I ask is because I still have my high school prom dresses.
Really?
And I just couldn't bear to part with them, but... If I knew it was going to a worthy cause like this.
Well, there's a number of them listed. Whatchamacallit Fashions is one of them.
Whatchamacallit Fashions,
and,
okay.
This says you can drop these off at the Davis Building Leasing Office at 1309 Main Street or Townview Magnet Center at 1201 East 8th Street.
Hmm.
So, again, details would be in the Dallas Morning News. I did find one thing. This is a little snide comment, but I thought I'd mention it. Within the encased in this article, what they're looking for, the highest demand addresses are in size 12 or larger.
Oh,
that's just par for the course of our country that's getting bigger and bigger, isn't it?
Women are getting bigger and bigger. Unless
yes,
you're a supermodel or a movie star.
Right. Well, here's the other weird thing, Carol. Listen to this.
Oh, that's interesting, because I always thought I was a little, well, ever since I quit smoking. Folks, I quit smoking.
But
last October, and I've gone up a size, and I feel a little bit like a fatty podcaster. But now that Jeff tells me that average size is 12?
That's for a kid, too. Just imagine somebody your age.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's alarming.
Listen to this. Workers at Buzz Free Prom, apparently that's another one, were frantically trying to salvage as many dresses as possible, but also hoping their word of misfortune would prompt additional donations. The dresses, by designers like Vera Wang and Jessica McClintock, have since moved to the drier downtown location. Now, what is up with that? Isn't like Vera Wang, isn't that what the celebrities wear?
That's what the celebrities wear.
So I kind of thought this was like a charity prom dress thing, but Vera Wang and Jessica McClintock, that I'm a guy, that name doesn't really mean that much to me.
No, I don't know Jessica, but everybody knows Vera. Vera is very well known for her wedding gowns.
Right.
The rich and famous always love to get the Vera Wang wedding gowns. But it does go to people, needy people.
It does. And,
right?
and again, they're trying to... That you go through all these programs to, like, you will not drink, you will not drive, you will, you know, not do drugs.
Before you qualify.
Right, before you qualify.
Mm.
So there you go.
Well, I hope there's no people that are, you know, trying to beat the system and that.
To get their Vera Wang?
To get their Vera Wang, because, you know, I mean, I could go through those programs for a free dress, but... Do I need a free dress? No, I could easily afford one. So
you're not a high schooler.
Huh?
You're not a high schooler.
I look like a high schooler, though. Don't
I got my free Vera Wang.
My boyfriend tells me I look young. Huh? No. What?
Her boyfriend, by the way, is in the galley section of Casa Tacana Studios. Say something, Neil. Give a shout out. There he goes.
What did he say?
I don't know.
What did you say?
Hi, everyone.
He said hi, everyone.
That's Neil.
That's Neil.
A round of applause for Neil. If you're in your car, clap. Clap your hands right now.
Okay.
So what do you got funny? You said you had something serious and then something funny or something amusing. Let's hear your funny.
I have something funny?
Well, I don't know. Do you?
Well, no, I don't have anything funny, I don't think. But I'm very excited because...
I'm so excited.
The Da Vinci Code.
Yes.
Is it
they're
the
making
Da Vinci
a movie.
Code? It opens May 19th.
No way.
It's right around the corner.
Awesome.
There's so much hype.
Who, you know, that's
surrounding that movie.
It's going to be the kiss of death for that movie, though. It's going to, you know, we're all going to come in with such great expectations, and it's going to suck now, right?
Well, I hope it doesn't suck. The novel was pretty good.
It was good. Who's in it? Do you know?
Yeah, Tom Hanks.
Oh, that's right.
It's a Tom Hanks movie, and it's directed by a Little Opie from The Andy Griffith Show. What's his name?
Little Opie. Yeah, Opie.
No, it's Ron Howard.
Ron Howard.
It's a Ron Howard. He's producing
he's
or directing.
He does great movies.
Yeah, he does. And so I'm so excited. But, you know, it sold 12 million copies in the U.S. alone, more than 43 million copies worldwide. I mean,
are you
that
serious?
That is amazing. And it's been translated into 44 languages. And not only that, but it's also spawned dozens of nonfiction books, right? Criticizing.
Right. There's all kinds
Dan
of critical
Brown's
analysis and
right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of controversy, right?
A lot because of controversy,
of
but you know.
The Christian history and.
He takes some liberties. It's a freaking novel. And,
right.
and people are writing criticism, but you know. It's just all great for Dan Brown, isn't it?
It's great. It's free publicity.
I know.
It's like bring it on, right?
I know. He's laughing his way to the bank.
Yeah, but they're the book is coming out. I bought the hardback.
I think I've got the hardback too.
And it was such a good book, and they're getting ready to release, I think, 3 million or 5 million paperbacks.
Paperbacks. Yeah, it's going to be huge when the movie comes out.
And I think that's part of the advertising as well, the lead up into the movie. But
I can't wait to get the action. Figures.
Oh, yeah.
Little cardinals and bishops.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, you know, did I tell you when we were in Paris last December?
Oh,
some of our friends. I went for Wei Xing's birthday, right? Four of us went to Paris. And there was just lines and lines
the Louvre.
The Louvre, thank you, duh. Mm-hmm. And the pyramid, and everybody's looking for the little stuff underneath the pyramid. And I mean,
right.
Hey, it's a little bit hog wild.
Although, you find anything?
Well, the problem is we did not find, the one thing that was surprising is we thought there would be at every hotel, lots of concierge service saying, you want to go to this, what's the name of the novel again?
The Da Vinci Code.
This Da Vinci Code tour, right? And we thought the city would be full of them. And we ended up having to go on a self-serve walking tour that we found on the internet, and it kind of sucked. So I was surprised. They actually didn't promote it up as much as I thought. In a way, I'm kind of happy about it because Paris is still Paris and not too touristy, it's kind of stupid to have a Da Vinci Code tour and a little embarrassing to want to go on it, but...
But that's why you went to Paris.
But that's kind of why we went. Well, we went to go to some of our favorite restaurants, too, you know. I mean, all of us had been to Paris quite a few times. It's just a town that we all like a lot.
But I think... did you talk about your trip to Paris?
No, because I don't think we've had a podcast since then.
Oh, okay, because I know you were... I think you spent some time at the cemetery, right?
And then
you
saw some... fantastic.
Some important people.
Yeah.
I forget who are buried in the cemetery over
we
there.
We saw Rossini, who did Barbara of Seville, one of my
yes,
favorite operas.
Me too.
I lingered at Rossini, but the number one grave that I saw...
Yeah, what's the number one grave?
Chopin.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just so in awe. I was just so in awe of being so close to his bones.
Right.
Sounds stupid, but hey.
Did you mean... Chopin.
Chopin. Chopin. Chopin, as Americans say it.
It's spelled Chopin. Chopin, but it's Chopin.
Chopin.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I played Chopin and I love his piano music.
And
he's
what was the name of the cemetery? Was it in
Pierre Lachey, I think it's called. Pierre Lachey Cemetery. It's just on the outside. Wei Xing's big thing was... Jim Morrison of The Doors is buried there.
Oh, is it? And I wonder why.
And it was cool. Well, he died in Paris. And I think he wanted to be buried there with all the artists and poets. Oscar Wilde is buried there. And all kinds of people that are famous. And lots of poets, lots of statesmen, lots of novelists. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful cemetery.
Now, Jim Morrison of The Doors, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't he die of a drug overdose?
I think he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a big Doors fan.
I love The Doors.
I know, most people do, but I just never really got into that.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, that was, if you call that fun, that was my bit. I'm very,
that was
fun. I love going to movies, and I just can't wait.
Does knocking around this microphone like this, does that bug you guys? It's kind of bugging me, sorry.
I love Paris in the springtime. I love Paris in the fall. I love Paris in the winter when it drizzles. I love Paris in the summer when it sizzles. I love Paris every moment.
We took a little break for those that wanted to know. And we're back. We're back. Hey, by the way, I did want to mention, I've been doing a podcast. Some of you may know. It's called Today in Podcasting at todayinpodcasting.com. I'm joined by the guy that does Podcast Pickle, P. Dilly, or Gary Leland, and Mike Gould, a local producer. And we talk about podcasting news. We talk about podcasting stuff, and we have interviews. We interviewed Adam Curry. We interviewed CeCe Chapman. We interviewed Dawn and Drew. All the big names are showing up on our show. Why? Because we're great. No. No, because Gary actually is really good at begging. But it's a fun show, so go check us out at todayinpodcasting.com. That's who we're sponsoring us today. Not. All right. Hey, did you know, maybe everybody in the world knows this, but me, when I saw it, I clipped it out and said, I got to tell somebody. Canola oil. Do you know much about canola oil?
Canola oil?
Yeah.
No, I just know how to spell it.
Okay. Canola oil stands for Canada oil.
Oh,
did you know that?
No. What's the OLA stand for?
I guess it's a fancy, cute way of saying oil.
The C-A-N is Canada. OLA is what? Hello.
OLA.
Hello.
Hello, Canada.
It's a Hello, Canada oil.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about canola oil, and I'll be fast, but it's interesting. It's from rapeseed oil, which has been around since ancient times. Rapeseed oil is...
Grape?
No, it's called rapeseed.
Rape?
Rape.
Oh, okay.
Love it.
Oh, interesting. Rapeseed.
And it grows all over Canada. Now, it was huge during World War II because they used it. It was a great lubricant for metal engine parts. Okay. Sounds yummy, doesn't it? So after that, demand declined sharply. And the problem was, while it was perfectly edible, it tasted awful. It had a distinctive taste and a disagreeable greenish color due to the presence of chlorophyll. So, and it had a bunch of this erucic acid or something like that. Anyways, engineers in Canada through the 60s decided, well, we've got so much of this rapeseed that why can't... And they discovered, the scientists discovered, because people were starting to get more health conscious, that the oil had all these really healthy properties to it compared to like corn oil and some other vegetable oils. So they engineered it. And they got rid of all the bad taste and all the bad color, and they made it, canola oil. Here, it's actually from, I got the acronym wrong, it's from Canadian Oil Low Acid.
Canadian Oil Low Acid. There's your canola.
There's your canola. And today, canola oil is indeed one of the most healthy of the vegetable oils. And... Canada, and mostly, I think 98-99% of the canola in the world comes from Canada.
I'm concerned about the rapeseed, though. I think, could that have not been a typo in the article? I don't, what is a rapeseed?
No, in fact.
I think it's grape.
No, seed. In fact, I went to Google because I said, what is rapeseed?
What
right?
is a rape?
Yeah. And I actually went to Wikipedia and some other sources. Wikipedia can't always be trusted, as everybody knows. But I went to some other sources, and rapeseed is an ancient thing that's been around forever. And it's just
what's a rape? If it's rapeseed, there's got to be something called rape. I mean, is that a fruit or a vegetable? Probably a vegetable. Canola is a...
That I don't know, but in ancient, I think it's always been used to make oil for some reason. It says here, in ancient Asia and Europe, they used it for lamps, for cooking, and in foods. Huh. Go figure. So I don't know.
But folks, don't go to your local grocery store and ask
for rape.
For a rape.
You just might get one in this society of ours.
Not a good idea, but I've got to look into that.
Yeah.
I'd like to know whether or not you can go buy rape.
Go check it out. Go buy rape.
There's a good logo.
There's a
go
good
buy rape.
Yeah, get your rape here.
Got any rape?
Got rape?
Yeah, got rape. Yeah.
Okay, everybody's like, you're getting mad at us right now.
Yeah.
Because we're the clean, nice show.
Now.
Well, I do have... I want to play, you know, we had Pat's 7-Eleven update, right? And everybody loved that song, and I haven't changed the song. So I'm going to play that right now because I have a 7-Eleven update. So here's the song.
7-Eleven.
Thank heaven.
7-Eleven.
Thank heaven.
It's time for Pat's 7-Eleven update.
Now, my 7-Eleven update, let me get it queued up here, is there is a new product called a ciabatta sandwich. Have you ever heard of ciabatta? Am I saying that right? This is the word, C-I-A-B-A-T-T-A.
Yeah. Jack in the Box has ciabatta too.
Well, this blog actually kind of put 7-Eleven down for this. So they said, because it is very good, first of all. I haven't tried it.
The ciabatta bread is
the
yummy.
The ciabatta bread. But 7-Eleven said developing the ciabatta took longer than a year, which I personally find pretty funny. If that's your job, developing a ciabatta sandwich. What is it? You put meat, you put mayo, you put lettuce on ciabatta bread.
Yeah.
It's kind of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, for some people it takes, doesn't, you know, I'm efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, the person on the blog said exactly that. Hello, anybody here, a Jack in the Box? Because apparently 7-Eleven is saying this is innovative, it's hip, it's cool, it's groovy, it's 7-Eleven. So.
Oh, well, good for 7-Eleven. I've had some of their sandwiches. They're pretty good.
Yeah?
They're pretty decent. Sure. I think I mentioned this last time I was at your podcast. I think it was show 32 or show 33.
It's our podcast.
Oh, yes, our podcast. This show is as much mine as it is Jeff's.
It is.
Right, Jeffrey?
That's what we talked about before the show.
Yes, that's right. But remember I did a 5K? I think it was a Susan G. Komen.
Yeah.
And 7-Eleven was one of the sponsors, and they were giving out their sandwiches, and I was really impressed. So
oh,
I'm
cool.
going to go check out their Shabbat.
All right.
Yeah.
And that's your 7-Eleven update.
Very good. We love 7-Eleven, right?
Right.
Well, that was a Pat thing.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to continue that or not.
Yeah.
Probably not, because I don't have the passion of a 7-Eleven. What I might do is I've got a couple Starbucks blogs that I report to. I might do a Starbucks update.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Yeah. And I'll come up with something.
And I do have a Starbucks update, come to think of it. Maybe I can come up with a jingle, too. But the Starbucks update is...
They were giving away free coffee. Did you hear about that, Jeff?
Yes, I put it in my blog for everybody.
Oh, you did?
I picked one up, too.
I didn't have time to leave work and go because they had it like during 10.
2 hours, 10 to 12.
10 and 12, and yep. It was like I had meetings, so I couldn't break away. But that was such a cool thing. And not all the Starbucks participated in the free Starbucks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you had to...
There was no line for the one that I went to up in North Dallas close to work. Mm-hmm. And I just decided, what the heck? I wanted to see what the line was, how popular it was. It was kind of interesting because on one hand, they're trying to promote their new line of coffee makers by doing it, getting people into the store and just sort of, But at the same time, it wasn't advertised very well. I mean, there were people in line that didn't even know that they could get free coffee right then and there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was kind of weird.
That's I
found it in an obscure blog. I told people around the office, people told me, really?
Yeah. I read it in the paper.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I don't read the paper.
Yeah.
See, I don't read the basic stuff that keeps people informed.
Well, Jeff, you listen to other people's podcasts, and that's what keeps you informed as well, right?
That's right.
Podcast is a good source of...
Of good, hard information,
because
people mm-hmm. in podcasts would not lie.
Mm-mm.
No, it's against the podcast code.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hear the music? You know what that means?
It's showtime.
Yeah. Gonna put on a show.
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 Not one show, two show, three show, but a big show.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Okay.
All right, that's our new theme. So, wanna put on a show?
I think we're going to have a podcast, and it's going to be a variety show.
Well, I've been thinking about that. We might change the format up. Oh, one thing I should mention, too, even though we're a little bit unconcentrated and unfocused here, but that's cool. It's a podcast. I'm much less serious about it than I was last year. We're mm-hmm. just going to have a great time with this.
Yes.
Carol sings and dances. I sing and dance. Dancing doesn't really help you guys out there, I guess.
No.
Because we've been dancing this whole show.
We'll have a hell of a time here in the recording studio.
we've been dancing this whole show while we talk, and mm-hmm. no one's really said anything about it.
Right.
I mean, Neil's been enjoying it back there, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Beyond that. No, I think we should do some variety stuff.
Yeah.
Singing. Well, you remember the Sonny and Cher show? Every now and then Cher would have her piece, and when I was a kid, I hated that part. It wasn't funny. It was like... Cher being boring.
Oh, I like the Sonny and Cher. And then came along Donny and Osmond.
Yeah. No, I love those shows. I love those variety shows.
I
didn't like the singing back then. Now I would like it because I like singing.
Well, right. It's retro and everything.
Especially,
retro is coming back.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were fun to watch during the 70s.
They were fun to watch.
Variety shows.
I loved it. And the laughing.
The laughing. Maybe
that
we could do a laughing segment.
We should do a laughing.
Mm-hmm.
You can get in a bikini and have all kinds of tattoos. And dance around.
I don't remember that part.
Remember Goldie Hawn?
I remember Goldie Hawn, but
yeah.
I don't remember her.
The bikini. Oh, yeah. It was a big thing.
Yeah,
especially when you were a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah, she was so cute.
She's still cute.
She's still cute. But, I mean, back then, when she made that movie Cactus Flower, I don't know if you've ever seen that. But
I never saw it.
That was the cutest movie.
Really?
That was when she was
one of
very
her first
young.
Ones.
I don't know if it was before or after Laughing. I'm guessing after Laughing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
But good movie with Walter Matthau. Good movie. Must see.
Okay.
Anyways, I digress.
Well, let's get back to the music that was starting up.
Yeah, what was that about?
It's time for the Dallas Minute.
Oh.
And again, I think we'll probably continue to have a Dallas Minute because it's kind of fun. I wanted to say that you may, again, the rest of the world may know this, but I did not. Dean Fearing, who is a world famous chef, has been the chef at The Mansion, which is our posh place where all the stars come when they visit Dallas. Been there forever. He's leaving The Mansion to go where? You know where he's going?
Albernaz?
No, he's not going to Albernaz.
Oh, where?
He's going to the Ritz-Carlton.
Oh.
And now, what you should be saying is, huh? We don't have a Ritz-Carlton in Dallas, because that's what I did.
They're building one.
They're building a Ritz-Carlton.
That's right.
It's going to be opening next year, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be in the McKinney area. I don't exactly know where on McKinney, but mm-hmm. in the uptown, generally the uptown area.
That's right.
And I saw a schematic of what it looks like. They're building it to look like an old 1920s hotel, that style of architecture.
Oh, very good.
I think it's going to be cool.
Oh, very good.
I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Ritz-Carlton kind of guy.
Oh, you are, huh?
And not only do they have hotel rooms, but they're selling condos. So I'll probably buy a couple for my friends.
Uh-huh. I didn't know you were had such deep pockets, Jeffrey.
Well, you know me, just always giving.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's so much growth happening in downtown Dallas area right now. It's remarkable. But they're putting up so many high-rise condos right across from the American Airlines Center.
I can't keep up.
I cannot keep up with all the construction. Every time you open up the home section of the Dallas Morning News, they're talking about putting up a new building. But there's so much growth. Unfortunately, not a lot of these buildings cater to middle America.
Right. Now, it's always at the very, very high end.
It's always at the very high end. I mean, you won't get something. I think it's average at $350 a square foot just something.
I said Trinity
pretty,
area.
Pretty high, huh?
I said Trinity area for that neighborhood. It's a Victory area. I got that wrong. Victory, it's called.
Victory area. Yeah.
Yeah, and I always wonder, who moves into these places? I mean, who can afford a million dollar condo?
There's a lot of money.
But
there's a market. Obviously, there's a market.
They wouldn't build them if there wasn't a market, right?
Exactly. But, I mean, they're asking top dollars. And then you have to consider that a lot of these high-rise condos, they're gonna be high homeowners' dues associated with living there as well. So,
no kidding.
I mean, you got the mortgage. But I'm guessing a lot of the people that can move into these type places won't need a mortgage. They'll probably pay cash. But then there's significant homeowners' dues. Right? I mean, pay for the doorman and the parking and the security and, you know, what have you.
Right.
So,
it's unbelievable. But where are they moving from? They're moving from million dollar places to go to these million dollar places. So what happens to their old million dollar place?
I don't know.
You know?
Maybe it's like a second home, or maybe you've got a lot of people, moving in from other,
And then you got people like
states.
Me that have made a lot of money in podcasting.
And that's the real reason why I'm here, folks. I want a piece of that action. Actually,
there's no action
money.
Like podcasting action.
It's
unbelievable.
There's like zero money in podcasting. We just have fun doing
it. If you're out there thinking about podcasting and trying to make some money, I mean, I can't urge you enough. There's people hand you. I go to the street corners. People are handing me money because of the podcast.
Okay.
I'm in deep. So you have a Dallas Minute for us?
Well, it's a Dallas Minute. You know, the guy I'm seeing, his name's Neil. He just flew in from Paris.
And boy, his arms are tired.
Hmm?
And boy, his arms are tired.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's a variety show.
That was
part.
Silly thing. That was like a laughing thing.
Yeah.
No, that was good. I am
no,
a little slow.
Good.
I just got
I was a little slow.
Yeah, but he had just landed in Dallas, and I forced him to drive all the way. We both live in Irving. I forced him to drive all the way to Dallas because a friend of mine tipped me off, and she said the best pizza in town is Campisi's Egyptian restaurant. Now, I don't know what pizza has to do with Egyptians.
Right.
But
it's been around forever. It's a legend.
I hear it's been around forever. It's a legend. And, I mean, obviously, it's a very popular place because I couldn't believe, as we got there a little early, but as we were leaving, there was a line that was, wrapping around.
Did you go to the one on Mockingbird, the very dark place?
Went to the one on Mockingbird. It's between Central and Greenville in Mockingbird. And I was not impressed.
That's the restaurant that Jack Ruby reportedly had connections with. Remember Jack Ruby, the one who killed...
I know who Jack Ruby is, but what do you mean? Had connections with the owners?
With the owners, yeah. It's always been known as sort of as a mafia kind of...
Oh, is that right?
Place. Yeah.
Oh, so his conspirators were owning or had something to do with Campisi's.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact connection.
Oh, there you go. Wait, well, I think they're probably still mafia-owned because I had the pizza there. It must be I shouldn't talk. I don't know anything about the restaurant and certainly don't want to give it a bad name, but I've had better pizza, folks. I'll just leave it at that.
You know, I like Campisi's pizza, but I agree. There is better pizza out there.
I'll give you guys some better spots to go to for the better pizza, but if Fratelli's was better than Campisi's.
Okay. And Fratelli's is owned by the same people, as I understand, because it's very similar.
Well, there you go. That's why it's very similar. But I just didn't understand. I mean, Fratelli's not my favorite, but I didn't understand what the big hoopla was. But I was tipped off, decided to go, and poor Neil drove all the way after a 13-hour flight in from Paris, and we were both a little disappointed.
So. All right. Well, it was good to hear that review.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a food critic now.
Good. Keep that.
But I love my pizza. I know pizza.
I love my pizza too.
And I know my pizza. And
do you like thick or thin?
It can either.
Okay.
Either, but if you want to do gourmet pizza, you know, you got to go with the thin crust.
Yeah.
But I occasionally like my pan pizza.
Okay. I occasionally like it, but I tend to like the thin.
Yeah, the thin.
Classic thin.
Yeah, exactly.
The New York style is my favorite.
And it's not as fattening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So either or. So that was my.
Yeah.
New York Minute, Dallas Minute.
Dreaming of New York.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do the show this week.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think we're done.
I think it was a successful debut of the new season.
Yes. I hope so.
We need to start having cliffhangers. What will Carol say next week about what?
I don't know.
We'll
think
of
something. It's been a long
week.
Yeah.
It's been a long week.
Yeah. So we'll have something exciting to share with you.
So let us know what you think about the show. You can email me at jeff@thisandthatpodcast.com. You can email Carol at carol@thisandthatpodcast.com. You can email the show at Jeff and Carol. Actually, I haven't set that. I haven't set either of those up, but I'll set them up. jeffandcarol@thisandthatpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
And visit our website.
Mm-hmm. Favorable reviews and comments only.
Well, you can do negative. We talked about that before the show.
I'm kidding. Negative is welcome too.
Negative is welcome too. As long as it's constructive. Don't just say, we wish Pat was back. That's not really very helpful. You know, Pat doesn't want to be back, so it's okay.
But yeah, but if people want her back, that's fine.
No, it's fine. I understand that.
You're just not
going to
get her back.
But you can't always get what you want in life.
Our reply will be tough.
Tough love.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Oh, the other thing we should mention is that this is not going to be a weekly podcast. Most likely it'll be every 2 weeks. But you know what? If it's every 3 weeks or every month, which sometimes it probably will be, it's okay. We are not doing a schedule because it burns us out, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of great podcasts to listen to out there. I'll start bringing in some podcasts I recommend. So, you know, enjoy us. Great. You know, we'd love you to have you as listeners. Don't have expectations every week. Expect us every other week. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're not going to come up with that, though. And enjoy some of the other podcasts out there. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to just hear a little bit of this and that every now and then, I hope.
Yeah.
So, all right.
All right, folks.
Bye, Carol.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye, everybody out there in podcast land.
Bye-bye.
Bye.